Let's all stand together, please, for the reading of God's Word. And today we are in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. So Philippians chapter number 3. I'm going to read verses 12 through 16. So Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. We will read responsibly, please. I will read the even verses. Let's read the odd verses together from 12 to 16. The Bible says in verse number 12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. And Lord, again, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for this place. And God, on this Sunday, as we think toward our building campaign, our offering Sunday, and God, it's a crucial time. We thank you so much for all you've done to this point. But God, I pray that our people would listen to what, all of us would listen to what you have for us today. Let us press toward the mark. Do exactly what you'd have us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
In the town of Bethlehem, that's where the angel spoke of him. He said that God would send down to us of his dear love. He said that a child would soon arrive. He'd make the dead to come alive. And through his dear name, we could ascend to heaven above. From a beautiful garden where he prayed, to the halls of Pilate on that day. He bore my grief, he bore my sin, he bore my shame. From a lonely cross along the way, to the borrowed tomb where Jesus lay. He paid my debt, he did it all. Oh, praise his dear name. On the shores of Galilee, well, he walked the waves of a raging sea. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. From his throne in heaven above, God commanded us his love, and through his dear name, ascend to heaven above. From a beautiful garden where he prayed, to the halls of Pilate on that day. He bore my grief, he bore my sin, he bore my shame. From a lonely cross along the way, to the borrowed tomb where Jesus lay. He paid my debt, he did it all. Oh, praise his dear name. From a lonely cross along the way, to the borrowed tomb where Jesus lay. He paid my debt, he did it all. Oh, praise his dear name. He paid my debt, he did it all. Oh, praise his dear name.
right, thank you for that. You know our theme already, finishing strong. It's our building kickoff. By God's grace, and I'm going to say this, we're going to be done but in phase one by the end of this year. We'll be in. Okay, you say, why are you saying that? Did God come and tell you? No, the city actually did. And so I'm kidding, but we are close. Our guys have brought us away. We're where we're at now, we can get this done. We're ready to finish it up. I purposely not came and promised, you know, we'll be done on this date or that date, because I wanted to make sure all the things in the background are set up. Those guys that set the dates when Jesus is coming back. Either Jesus doesn't receive text or something's wrong here, because he's missed a lot of dates. And so, but this year we need to get done, and we can get done, and we will get done by God's grace. That's why the theme is finishing strong. And that's our verse right there. Philippians 3:14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As we get into the message, we see that Paul often used athletic pictures. How many of you like sports in some way? I like sports. I like it less because it's too political. In the wrong direction, very, very liberal. And if you don't, you know, if you don't believe the goofy stuff, there's something wrong with you. And by the way, that does not represent mainstream America, and definitely it should not represent Christianity. But I like the concept there. There's so many things you can learn. I heard that when Joseph was picking up for Tim in coaching, it's like, wow, Joseph's a little bit energetic behind the bench. I remember Pastor Esposito. Pastor Esposito, if you were not here when Pastor Esposito was here, Pastor Esposito was the ultimate exhorter and encourager. And brother, you can make it. And if you're struggling in your life, everything's good and you can make it. And then he would coach. And when he would coach, he would be brutal. I remember his brother asked him one time, like, Pastor, why are you, I mean, you're so, you try to help everybody and you're so kind and encouraging, but when you coach, you're into it. Pastor said, look, in their life, we have time to get them on the right track. He goes, in a game, we only have 1 hour, okay? And so that's how it works. But athletics are a good picture, and that's why Paul used it, because it involves discipline. It involves sacrifice. It involves effort, it involves endurance, and it involves direction. A professional athlete, a good one, has a life that is built around his preparation and perseverance towards a goal. Everything they do is geared towards that one goal. I remember when I was in junior high, I hung around with a group of guys, and we, the Dave Lucero crowd, and Robert Ramirez crowd, they were bad. And we did things we shouldn't be doing, and we did those things at school. But there was a guy, Kenny Williams, that would hang around with us. And the things that we were doing, Kenny would not do, even though he hung around with us. And I asked him one time, I said, why are you hanging around with us if you don't do the things we do? And here's what he told me. He goes, I'm an athlete. By the way, he was track and field, football, basketball. He was all of it. He goes, and I'm not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize my athletics. This is an unsaved kid, eighth grader. Athletics teaches us a lot of things. Paul is telling them here, particularly in verse 14, which is our theme verse. He's given an athletic picture. He says, I press towards the mark. Press means to run swiftly after, to pursue it with all that you have. I press towards the mark, a goal that you look at as you're pressing that is in view. And Paul says, I have a goal in mind, and his was an eternal goal. And he goes, I press, I pursue, I go after it swiftly with all of my heart. And that's where we find ourselves in for the rest of this year with regards to our building. Now, I like Paul. Paul was a finisher. A lot of people start, very few finish. It's very, very, it's very discouraging when you think that the studies they've done, the average church member lasts 7 years. Why? There's always excuses that Satan gives you. There's always things that come that can trip you up. But he was a finisher. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered." He sees the end of his life and goal. "The time of my departure is at his hand." He goes, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Wouldn't that be great for all of us to say in our life when we get towards the end of our life and we can see that finish line? It's right there. And we know it's coming soon. And we can say, "You know what? To the best of my ability, I have tried to fulfill God's will for my life, and I finished it." That would be something nice for all of us to be able to say. Now, if we're going to finish strong, whether with our building or in our lives as Christians, I want us to notice three ingredients briefly this morning. I see the clock. It's right there. We will be done right at 11. First of all, I want you to notice Paul talks about the attitudes we need to have. The attitudes. It says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I am apprehended of in Christ." Paul says, you know, I'm not there yet. Oftentimes what happens with athletes is they work and strive hard to get to a certain level, and then they get to a certain level, and you know what they think? I've arrived. I'm here now. I've got, and they don't keep pressing, and they go backwards. There's a baseball player they've been getting on lately. A couple years ago, he hit like 50-something home runs, and he got a huge contract. He's like went hitless for like his last 60 at-bats. And he's been horrible the last couple years. Now, I'm not saying that's why, but sometimes that is why. We think we have arrived, and we get to a certain point. By the way, as a Christian, you will never arrive. I'll tell you when you arrive, when you're dead and you're in heaven, you've arrived. But until then, We're always going to have to go forward. That's why we always want to be growing, and we want to be always developing our faith. But he said there's some attitudes we need to have. My personal favorite sport, I like hockey. Very few people do, but that's because straight and narrow is the way, okay? I like hockey, and I like guys that achieve. And Wayne Gretzky is one of the great, well, he was the greatest hockey player that ever played. Not even close. And back at a time where if a guy scored 100 points in a season, that was like, wow, he would score 200. They asked him one time, "What is the secret? How come you do that?" He goes, "Because I play hard the whole game long." He goes, "I am not going to play and let up when there are people that have paid to come watch me play. I'm going to play hard the whole game." Yeah. By the way, no matter what we do, we ought to give it our all. Too many of us slack off in things, and in particular our Christianity, we're not careful. And so what are some of the attitudes Paul tells us we need to have if we're going to keep pressing towards the mark? Well, we need to have the right attitude about possessing. Look at verse 12. "Not as though I had already attained." He says, you know what? I'm not there. Now, if you or I say that, that's true, right? We know who we are. But think about it. Paul, the great missionary, Paul, the great church planter, Paul, who wrote so many epistles in the New Testament, Paul, who after he got saved, kind of supplanted Peter as the main guy in the book of Acts. That's the Paul we're talking about. The Paul who, to be real honest with you, when I'm in heaven and if we get to meet, we're meeting the other Christians and I'm meeting meeting Paul, I'm gonna feel a little embarrassed. That Paul, you know what he said? He goes, "It's not as though I had already attained." Wow, what an attitude to have. I think that if Paul didn't feel like he's arrived yet, he needed to keep pressing. Don't you think we need to keep pressing? We've not possessed. Don't let Satan get you to think like, "I'm there. I got it all nailed down, you know. I'm coming to church now, and I occasionally go soul winning, and I do this, and maybe I teach a Sunday school class, or I work in the nursery, and I'm there. I'm okay. I can put it on cruise control." When you put it on cruise control, you're going to start backing up. When you start just coasting, you're eventually going to come to a stop. And so we need to have the right attitude about possessing. we also have to have the right attitude about perfection. Either we're already perfect. You know, here's one way you could tell if you're growing as a Christian. The more you grow as a Christian, the less you think about yourself and the more you think you have to go. Right? Because the more you grow in your faith, the more you get what's going in your faith, the more you realize just who you are. Sometimes I just think about, like, why does God even deal with us? Why does God even put up with us? Why would God do one little thing? You know, we think we're all cleaned up and, you know, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I work on staff. I'm a pastor. We're nothing in the eyes of God. God, it's all because of God's grace, right? Anything that happens in our life, anything that has ever happened in this church, nobody in this church can take credit for anything that ever happens in this church. You got to kind of just shake your head and say, I have no clue why that's going on. Because God's doing it. But we know, look at how Paul looked at himself. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, he said, for I am the least of the apostles. Okay, well, at least he's one of the apostles, but he puts himself at the bottom. Ephesians 3:8 says, unto me who am less than the least of the saints. Then he says, not only am I the least of the apostles, of all the Christians I'm at the bottom. And then he says in 1 Timothy 1:15, there's a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I guess he was Native American. I'm not sure. But he says, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the least of the saints. And I'm the worst of the sinners. Now, was Paul that bad a guy? In your and mine eyes, he wasn't. But in his eyes, he understood who he was. And so we have to have the right attitude about perfection. Pride kills us. We have a lifelong battle if we're going to be successful against sin and successful in a spiritual way, if you know what I'm saying, in our Christian life. We have to have the right mentality. And then lastly, he had the right attitude about pursuing. He goes, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. He says, listen, I want to seize that prize for which I was seized to go get. In other words, God saved him to do something. I'm trying to attain that for which I was saved for. See, you weren't just saved. I wasn't just saved so that we would go to heaven one day. Now, thank God we are. I was saved for a reason. You were saved for a reason. Apparently, it was to be a pastor someday. No. I was saved to be a Christian and to serve God the rest of my life. And by the way, let me just say something. So are you. We all are. God saved us to do something, not just so he could clean us up and stick us on a shelf and say, trophy. Okay? Trophies get dusty. We just moved and everything was dumped in our garage. So this week, on Monday and Wednesday nights, I was out and I cleaned the whole garage. I bought a bunch of shelves and I built shelving and I put everything on the shelf. I'm tired of looking at stuff on the floor. And as I'm looking, one of the boys, I still don't know who's that, all of their trophies are in the garage on the top of a thing. And I'm calling them like, listen, do you guys want these? I want to throw them away. Like, I think it was one of the, I'm not going to tell you which of the boy, but Josiah said, those are mine. Don't throw them away. And I'm in the garage on the phone talking to him. I'm like, the trophy in my hand, the guy's broken off. He's not even on it anymore. But listen, trophies are nice, but they're worthless. Okay? We're not there. We're there to continue pursuing to do what God wants us to do. Salvation is more than just escaping hell. It's about having a living relationship with God and honoring him by following him the rest of our lives. These apply to our building. We don't yet possess. We have a lot more that God wants us to do. Okay? We can't just be content with where we are and what we're doing. We aren't perfect. We will never get there. And we need to keep pursuing God's will as a church until God takes us home. So there's attitudes we need to have. Secondly, there's actions we need to take. Actions. Because he had not received anything yet, because he still had a way to go, he was focused in his actions. See, his attitude determined the actions that he took. Once he understood who he was and how far he had to go, and that he had a purpose in this life that God gave him, once those attitudes were right, now the actions got in line. I like the, this one thing I do. Singular. Now, there was several things he did within that one thing, but it was all centered around a singular purpose that he broke up. The one thing I do had three parts. The first part was, the past can't hold you down. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. By the way, in Paul's case, he had a very checkered past, did he not? How discouraged could he have got? Because before he was saved, he was a murderer of Christians. And he thought he was doing God justice, and actually he wasn't. And as someone who was saved and now serving God, he could have looked back and thought, man, I caused people that trusted Christ to turn on Christ. That could cause him some mental anguish. But he realized, he goes, if I live in the past, it's going to hinder what I'm supposed to be doing now and in the future. And so Paul says, I'm going to forget the past. We too need to forget the past. There's two ways that the past can be a negative in our life. First, we dwell on the negatives. If you got saved later on in life, or maybe you got saved early in life and you've deviated a little bit here and there every now and then, you have some things in your life. If you're not careful, you can dwell on those negatives, and those negatives can chain you down from ever going forward. You know what Paul says? Forgetting those things are which behind. That's not who you are. I've met so many people, and they struggle with things in the past. It's like, that's just who I am, and that's just how it's been. Not if you're saved. Praise God, if you are saved, God says your past is done. You have a glorious new future. Don't let Satan throw your past at you. But that's not the only way that our past messes us up. We dwell on our accomplishments. You know, I won somebody last year. Well, praise God for that. This is 2019. You know, well, I read my Bible through last year. How's it going this year? So we can, you know, well, you know, there's so many use to Christians, and by the way, the past is a blessing. I'm not saying that, but you know what? Let's be thankful for the past, and let's remember the good times of the past, but don't let it stop us from accomplishing something in the future. Amen. And we do that so often. By the way, this church, we're not going to stop with, well, you know, we've had good things happen in the past. I think about that a lot, and I love it, but you know what? So what? What about the future? What about the now? Let's keep going. So let's not hold on, don't let the past hold us down. Then he also said, the future must push you forward and reaching forth unto the things which are before. Too many of us don't think about the future. You say, well, the future's, you know, and I understand some people, it's like, and we'll get to that in a minute, the present, but you have to think about the future, because the future is being molded by what you're doing today. Right. Yeah, I'll worry about the future when I get there. Well, if you're not doing the things to mold your future today, I can tell you what your future is going to be in the future. Not good. Yeah. And Paul said, there's a future. I'm pressing forward those things that are before me. There's things that we still have to do. There's things that still God wants to accomplish. And I'm going to press towards that future. Most people, their future is retirement. If you're retiring from work, that's fine. But all of us need something to live for. All of us need some goal in mind. That's why it's good not to just come to church, but to be a faithful, active member of the church. It gives you that spiritual vision, that spiritual purpose in your life, and it gives you a place that you can go with others and accomplish that. Look, if you come out on a Tuesday night, I know some of you can't, you get off work, but some of you can, you just don't do it. If you go out on a Tuesday night and you had a bad day at work and you get to see someone trust Christ, that day just got good. Yeah. That day just said, you know what? Today was a bad day and all the night, but you know what? That was exciting. Someone trusted Christ. So the future. Let's push towards the future. Let's not live our lives in the let's not live our lives in the past. And then he also tells us the present must have a goal. And that's in verse 14. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What are we striving for in life? If I were to ask you, what are you living for? Well, I'm living for getting that raise and getting that position, position at work. And by the way, there is nothing wrong with getting a raise and getting that position at work, right? Hey, look, if you work somewhere and you're a Christian and they're offering raises and they're offering better jobs, why not be you? But don't live for that. That's just something you strive for at work, but it's not your whole life. Don't let that define you. Sometimes we do things like that. Don't ever lose sight of the finish line. Paul was a man running his race, and he wanted the prize, not second or third. Now, I know in the Olympics, if you get second or third, they celebrate it, and you get a silver and a bronze. Can I just tell you something? That's second and third. It's not first. And they'd save a whole lot of money if they just gave gold medals. Okay? You ought to strive for it. I don't know. I'm a football fan, and I like the Rams. Pray for me. You know what? We recorded the game, and we were watching it at our house. We were eating pizza. We were doing the whole nine yards, and it was like, this is boring, and it doesn't look like they're going to win. And after about, like, the end of the third quarter, I'm like, I'm done. And I took my phone out, and I'm like, what's the score? They lost. I'm like, I'm not watching anymore. Okay? I just had enough. By the way, I didn't jump up and down and say, they get the silver medal. They finished second. I thought, bums, they should have won. Okay, but we all know the Patriots cheat. That's what they do. Okay. I don't want to start a fist fight here, all right? So I know there's a lot of you Patriot fans, but you know what? We're going to have an invitation in a few minutes, and you can come down here, and I'll pray for you personally. Okay? But listen, I wasn't excited because they finished second. Now, I'll tell you this, though. You know what's nice about the Christian life? No one has to finish second. See, because I have a race to run. Pastor Pichardo has a place to run. Has a place to run. He runs from his wife. He has a path to run. All of us, and you know what success for each one of us is? Let each and every one of us run our race and finish God's will for our life, and we've attained. We've got there. And lastly, there's an admonition we need to heed. There's an admonition we need to heed. That was verse 15 and 16. He switches from I, in explaining in the previous verses, really to the words us and we. Because after Paul talks about these you know, individual things in our life, he then comes back to, like, we all have to work together. Now, that really applies to us. You know, Christians, we need to work together. As a church, if we're going to listen, I could go out by myself and say, I'm going to win the world to Christ and I'm going to try to help people, but if I'm not attached to a church, I'm not going to help people. I remember in the early days, we had started a church, and we were Cambodian Baptist Church, and we're reaching Cambodians, and these folks came in from some city back in the Midwest or somewhere, and we went out to them because at that time, you know, Long Beach had 50 to 60,000 Cambodians, all of, you know, a lot of them were within the last 10 years here. And so this couple came out. They saw our church. They came and visited us. Pastor and I went out with them. And they had their own plan. Say, well, what church are you working with? We don't work with a church. We just go places and meet with them. And we're going to, it didn't work. They weren't, there were a month and they were gone. They didn't have a team. They were just kind of doing their own thing. And what are they doing? The people that got saved, there was no one to train them, no one to encourage them, no church group to be a part of. It's nice to be part of a team. And if we're going to accomplish anything as a church, we all need to work together. But let me just say something very important here. If you're going to accomplish anything in your life as a Christian individually, you still need to be part of the team. Right. You can have success individually, but if it's not attached to a team, it's no good. And Paul's saying, listen, as I'm running my race, and he's running his race, and he had his own goal, but he was still part of the team. The church is a team, and we're going to work together, and we have to work together if we are going to make it. No one wins alone. Now, how does that apply to the building? We need to have the same mentality. We need to have the right attitude. This thing is going to get done. It needs to be done. We are in a position to finish this year. Now, I'm going to tell you what it's going to take, and we're done. On June 9th, we're going to have our giving Sunday. And we need to give a good cash offering on that day. Secondly, and it's very important this year, we need to commit to our weekly and monthly. What we need to do at Finish, and we can finish if this takes place, we're going to have to get a bridge loan. And so with the money that we get on the offering Sunday with this bridge loan, we would have enough to finish this year. And really, we should have enough to catapult us into the second phase. In the second, really, I would say 65% of the building is phase one. But after phase one, we're moving in. And then phase two is finish the rest of the building. Okay? And so we're working on that right now. But it's right there in front of us. It's there. And when we say the end of the year, that sounds like a long time, but this is April. Yeah. And there's not that much. We're starting, I believe, where's Tim or Stephen? Monday, right? Monday, we got the guy coming out here. We're going to get this, the last of the outsides, we're finishing that. We're getting started on that. And so we need to press. If at any time, now's the time to finish strong. You say, well, why? We need more room. Okay, we can't have church outside. We can't have Sunday school classes outside. Really, we need a red light and a green light in that hallway. Okay, everybody running into each other and all that stuff, it's hindering us. And to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to be negative here, but I don't tell anybody, I don't like the way this building looks. I'll be real honest with you. I hate the way this building looks. I'm not kidding. I walk around the building sometimes like, I can't look. Now, if we weren't in a building program, we wouldn't have that issue. This would all be redone already. We'd already done that. But that it's all going to that. Say, you know, someone's like, what are we going to do to upgrade this building? We're going to move next door. And once we move next door and we're into that building, it won't take much for us to make this building look better. Put you know, but again, we got to get it done. Hey, let's press this year. And let's pray like never before that God does something great through us. Through us. It all has to be together. We've got to have a good cash offering. We've got to have good weekly and monthly commitments. And we've not pushed it because we're not in a place where we could really go forward 100%, but we're going now. And we're ready. And so let's all push together. Let's all stand together this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute.